This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary. One place where the economy is not hitting as hard as might be expected is the grocery store. Food prices are holding steady, for the moment at least, and that's surprising because the price of grain is on the rise. We called on NPR senior business editor Marilyn Geewax to explain the disconnect. She joins us in our D.C. studio. Good to have you with us, Marilyn.
Hi, Lynn.
So let's begin at the source, Marilyn. Why is grain so expensive?
It's a simple matter of the short supply and this huge global demand. There's a growing number of middle-class families in India and China, and they're buying more food. But this year, the global grain supplies are running pretty short. We've had a lot of bad weather. There was the flooding in Pakistan and a drought in Russia. It was especially bad there. The drought got so bad that the government banned wheat exports, and that helped drive up wheat prices for the rest of the world. And in this country, corn is especially in short supply. U.S. farmers didn't produce enough this year. There were some weather problems, so now they can't satisfy all of the demand. They've got ethanol producers, food companies, livestock growers. So corn prices surged 17% just in October, and they've been up pretty sharply all year. So some analysts are now looking at it saying it could go even higher, and that's partly because the rising crude oil prices. When oil gets expensive, more people want to make ethanol, and when you make more ethanol, that increases the demand for corn.
Well, if the price of grain and corn is so high, why isn't that translating into higher prices on our grocery store shelves?
Well, I know this is going to sound a little strange, but actually relatively little of the price of your groceries is tied to the cost of the food itself. The corn that's in that box of cereal is only worth a few pennies. So even if the price of corn goes up, 60%, that wouldn't translate into a 60% price hike at the register. That box has all sorts of costs, packaging, marketing, but the single biggest cost is transportation. You got to get the corn to the cereal maker and then get it to the grocery store. So actually, the price of gasoline matters more than the price of the corn itself. But now we're in a situation where we have rising oil prices and rising corn prices. So together, we're really getting these inflationary pressures in the pipeline. So General Mills, for example, just announced that it's going to raise the wholesale prices on some of its cereals in mid-November. The company said that those price hikes will just be in the low single digits, but still, it's a price hike.
So we can expect to see things like cereal, for example, as you were talking about, those prices might be going up.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. What about meat and dairy products? Because obviously livestock need a lot of grain. Doesn't that then contribute to the cost of food as well?
Right. It does. So far, we really haven't seen that. The consumer price index for this year so far shows that food prices are up only 1.4%, and that's the lowest annual food inflation rate we've had in almost two decades. But the point you're making about the livestock is true. They eat a lot of grain, and that starts to increase the cost. That if you're raising livestock and you're paying more for your feed, you're going to want to raise your prices. So that's putting inflation into the system. So the projection right now for food inflation for next year is about 3%, which would be twice this year's annual rate. Now, compared with the inflation we had back in the 1970s, 3% doesn't sound like a lot, but people are really squeezed these days. Social Security payments haven't gone up at all this year. Most workers have gotten only really meager raises. And, of course, we have millions of out-of-work Americans who don't have any paychecks. So, even if there's only relatively small inflation coming, it would be very unwelcome at the grocery store.
So the message is take advantage of those stable prices we're experiencing right now for as long as we can.
That's right, Lynn. Eat up.
NPR Senior Business Editor Marilyn Geewax. Thanks for being with us, Marilyn.
You're welcome, Lynn.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Good news on the job front today. The Labor Department says the private sector added 159,000 jobs in October. That's much more than expected. It's also the first time the economy has added jobs since May. Still, the nation's unemployment rate remains stuck at 9.6%, and that underscores just how much the economy needs to grow to heal from the damage of the recession. NPR's Jim Zaroli reports.
For the Obama administration, it was a bittersweet irony. The jobs report for October showed unequivocal employment growth, though it came too late to prevent huge Democratic losses in the midterms. Not only was there a big increase in private sector jobs last month, but job growth was stronger than first thought in August and September. And presidential adviser Austin Goolsbee said the trend seems clear.
This brings the total private sector job growth for the year to over a million. But
we got to keep growing and we got to keep adding jobs because it was the deepest hole in a very long time.
The report said there were slight drops in government and manufacturing jobs, but there were gains in education and health service, retail and temporary jobs. Dave Forsberg is executive vice president at Utah-based marketing firm MarketStar. He says his company, which has a lot of clients in technology and consumer electronics, has seen a big uptick in business.
We've actually had incredible growth this year. It's been one of our strongest years. We've hired a couple of hundred full-time permanent people, and we've hired in the neighborhood of over 1,000 part-time people.
Meanwhile, a lot of temporary help firms say they're seeing more business, something that economists say is often a harbinger of a stronger job market. Angela Cordero of Adecco Staffing says that over the past few months, her firm has been doing more and more business.
Our customers are still cautious. They are bringing people on a temporary basis and using that as opposed to maybe doing some perm hiring. But we are seeing perm come back.
Cordero says the demand for workers has been across the board in accounting, IT, legal, and engineering.
We certainly are not at the numbers that we were a few years ago, but we are definitely seeing an increase in business opportunities.
And companies are not just hiring more. They're working their current employees a bit more. The length of the average work week ticked up, and so did average hourly earnings. That, too, is often seen as an indicator of strength in the economy, since a rise in wages leads to consumer spending. Economist Ken Malin says he thinks employers are slowly growing a bit more confident about the economy.
I think that talk of double-dip recession shook many businesses to their cores. And so they cut back on hiring and they cut back on their intentions to spend for capital improvements for the future. Well, we've gotten past that.
Malin says that for a long time, employers were able to delay hiring workers because they could push their existing employees to do more. As a result, productivity rose, but payrolls fell. But Malin says at some point, companies can no longer do that.
I think that productivity rubber band has been stretched about as far as it can. So in order to get incremental increases in output, we're going to need incremental increases in the headcount.
Still, if today's report contained a lot of positive news, no one is really celebrating yet. There have been false springs in the job market before now. Then, too, a gain of 150,000 jobs is barely enough to keep pace with population growth. At that rate, most economists say it will take many years before the economy can recover all the jobs it's lost since 2008. Jim Zaroli, NPR News, New York.
And rising demand from China may be one reason crude oil prices took a sharp jump recently. A barrel now costs nearly $90, more than double the price 2 years ago. Now there are worries that higher prices could hurt a recovering economy. From Denver, Colorado, NPR's Jeff Brady has more.
At the Magic Rabbit Car Wash, there's also a convenience store, one of those quick oil change shops, and gas pumps out front. Normally, this is a good time of year for owner Kevin Lung because gas prices usually go down after the summer driving season.
A lot of gas stations, they do not change the price down that quickly, and that's how we can pocket the difference.
Lung says the extra few cents a gallon profit is a nice bonus, but oil prices are going up, so that dynamic is actually working against him this year. Lung can blame the Federal Reserve in part. Last week, the Fed said it will buy $600 billion in government bonds to boost the economy. A healthier economy would mean people will buy more gas, and that's pushing up the price. Gary Taylor is a principal with the Brattle Group, and he says oil futures appear to be settling in around $85 to $90 a barrel, but that's not because traders know that's where it'll end up.
When they don't know, they kind of expect more of the same. So the fact that the markets right now are kind of seeing $90 oil out there for the foreseeable future, that's just because they don't know where things are going to go.
Taylor says if the higher prices do stick around, that could hinder a fragile economic recovery.
You know, a $10 increase in the price of oil is like a $200 million tax on the economy a day.
That's $80 billion a year. Back at the Magic Rabbit Car Wash, Kevin Lung worries if customers spend more money on gas, they'll have less to spend on luxuries like a $10 car wash.
They don't have that money anymore because all their money is going in to fill up the tank. Unfortunately, I don't make that $10.
Since more than 60% of what you pay for gas is for the crude oil it's derived from, much of that extra money will go to large oil companies. Many of them already are reporting profits much healthier this year than last, thanks to higher oil prices. Jeff Brady, NPR News, Denver.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Yesterday brought some unexpectedly positive news on the job front. A report from the U.S. Labor Department said 151,000 jobs were added to the economy in October. The unemployment rate, which some had projected to climb, held steady at 9.6%. NPR's Yuki Noguchi has more on what this means.
Heidi Shierholz is one of those economists who seldom, especially in the last 2 years, has had anything good to say. But here's what she said about Friday's employment numbers.
The employment report was good in the sense that not only did we have job growth, we had job growth that was actually more than what we need just to tread water. We need around 100,000 jobs every month just to hold steady, just to keep up with normal population growth. We got 151,000 jobs.
That was largely because businesses finally started hiring in large numbers. Workers were hired in mining, service, and healthcare-related jobs. Moreover, the report said September wasn't actually as bad as initially thought. Fewer jobs were lost than the department previously reported. But there is a darker side to this report. Again, Heidi Shierholz, the economist at the Economic Policy Institute.
The so-called underemployment rate moved a little, but it's essentially flat at around 17%. Bunch of these measures, they're just holding steady. And at this point, that's actually terrible news because they are holding steady at very, very high levels.
She says the recession left a hole about 11 million jobs deep. And even at last month's hiring levels, it would take a very, very long time to fill that gap. So then the question is, what will accelerate business hiring? Philip Condren has a simple answer: when there's demand. Condren runs an 8-person advertising company that's based in downtown Scranton, Pennsylvania. Condren and Company was among the first to react when clients cut back on their marketing budgets. He laid off one person and cut back another to part-time. 2 years later, they're at the same staffing level with no immediate plans to hire because of what their clients are telling them.
They're telling us that they're very cautious, that they don't want to budget for a year at this point. They want to budget quarterly. They're very cautious because they're not sure what next year's going to look like either.
Even if business were to increase, say in a year's time, he says he'll likely for some time rely on part-time or freelance workers.
Certainly not having to pay full benefits to someone is a benefit to us.
In the meantime, perhaps the biggest boon to Scranton in recent years hasn't been a political change or a federal program. It's been the success of the TV sitcom The Office, based on a fictional paper business roughly the size of Condren's, also based in Scranton.
It has made Scranton cool. People come, and every weekend there's a tour where you can go around and see all the various locations that are mentioned on the program. So, yeah, we have fun with it.
Fun that is also putting at least a few more people to work. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News.